with the straight scoop on the Packers from the man who knows them best. It's the Mike McCarthy Show with Larry McCarron and the coach of the Green Bay Packers, Mike McCarthy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mike McCarthy Show, where our top story is the Packers' upcoming game against the Tennessee Titans. And Mike, with Atlanta, then Indianapolis, and now Tennessee, are you getting familiar with getting ready for unfamiliar opponents?
Definitely. I mean, this Tennessee football team is very talented, and it's the uncommon opponent. But with that, you know, obviously you have, you know, the 8 games of film study to put in front of you. Actually, 9. They've played one more game than us. So, very talented football team. Starts up front with them. I think, you know, both their offensive and defensive lines are very strong, particularly I know their defensive line we feel is the strength of their defense. And, you know, young quarterbacks playing well, big running backs, and do a lot of shifts and motions and really challenge your defensive front, you know, from alignment and staying, you know, gap sound, particularly in the run game. You'll see a shift in the motion, try to create a bad C gap and challenge our run defense. So this will be a big test for us going down to Tennessee.
Mike, they come in with a 4-5 record, which is much improved, more wins than they had all of last season. And you mentioned that young quarterback, Marcus Mariota. What's he like in year two?
Oh, very talented. I'll tell you, he makes a lot of plays, and they use him now. I mean, it's both, you know, in the pocket and out of the pocket. He can make all the throws. You can see he's very comfortable. And they do a really good job schematically. I mean, I can't say enough about that. So this is going to be a big challenge for us to handle their formations, their shifts, and their multiple scheme concepts.
Titans offense, 3rd in the National Football League in rushing, and they also have DeMarco Murray, mm-hmm. who we know about, oh, yeah. as their primetime running back. No coincidence. He brings a ton to the party.
No doubt. It starts in the run game for them. He's a 25 carry type back. We call our day, you know, the battle we had here with him when he was with the Cowboys. So this is a very good football team. I've been very, very impressed with the video.
Like most NFL teams, they've got a number of really good players, and one of them, you just can't help but like his game, Delanie Walker, the tight end.
Absolutely. He does it all, and he's a perfect fit for their scheme, the ability to move around. He's an exceptional receiver, too, a real playmaker, and he plays with an attitude, too. So, Central Missouri, did you know that?
I didn't.
Yeah, absolutely. The Russ Ball's alma mater.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah, there you go, a little history. But excellent football player.
You know, Mike, I was looking at tape of them defensively, and I was getting a headache. I mean, they got people all over the place. Sometimes it looks like they have 8,000 guys at the line of scrimmage. And then I realized Dick LeBeau is their defensive coordinator. Mike, he's 79 years old. Can you imagine doing this and working as hard as you do at age 79?
I'll tell you, I mean, what an incredible career, you know, both obviously as a player and as a coach. And it's hard not to watch, you know, their defense and think you're at practice, you know, because obviously, Dom Capers and Dick go way back to the early 90s there in the Pittsburgh Steelers. So a lot of common schemes as far as, you know, how our defense plays. But, yes, it's remarkable that he's still going strong.
One of the battles up front I'll be really interested in watching is your offensive linemen on the interior, who are some pretty tough hombres, against their Jarrell Casey, who's pretty bad medicine in his own right. Does he jump off the film a little bit at you?
Oh, definitely. And don't stop there. Now, I mean, their edge rushers are very good, too. So this is, it starts up front with us. You know, we definitely, you know, talk about our big guys and, you know, our offense and defensive line. And we got to get really dialed in with these guys, some extra film study and, you know, pass rushes. They can get it done with a four-man rush.
Of course, Mike, you come in to the game having lost 2 in a row, and we're spoiled in these parts. 2 in a row, losses, the sky is falling. And yet, on Monday of this week, you came in and said, we're not that far away. Could you elaborate on that?
Well, I mean, you really have to stay close to the video. Our guys play with great passion, and I think it's, you know, when guys are very transparent. They give you an honest assessment of what happened after a tough loss. You know, things can get skewed, you know, can taken out of context. So just staying close to the video. We had an opportunity as a football team to watch it on Monday. You know, frankly, the corrections have been made. A lot of good football that we played, you know, Sunday, but we didn't do enough in the areas, particularly in the big play production that really jumped off. You know, obviously the things on special teams. So it's a learning experience. I mean, this is a football team with tremendous work ethic. We are improving. You see that each and every week. There's something that has improved about our football team every time we've lined up, and we will carry that forward this week to Tennessee.
Now, the first few days of the week, you spend with your staff formulating a game plan. I was wondering, when you go in there, the first time you present it to the team, is there a little salesmanship in that? I mean, you kind of got to convince them, or they just nod their heads and say, hey, coach,
well,
you got it.
I think if it's very practical to look at being a professional coach, is there definitely is some salesmanship, because, you know, that's where the confidence in the plan starts. I mean, our players are very, very well educated. We take a lot of pride in raising the football IQ, you know, of a football team each and every year. We definitely accomplished that through the offseason program coming into the season. But the most important thing is the application. So the application, how we're going to do it, why we're going to do it, when we're going to do it. You know, that's the part you sell each and every week, because, you know, it just, you know, gets everything going. It creates conversation, you know, amongst the players and coaches, and you cross your T's and you dot your I's, and come Sunday, you go kick.
Thank you, Mike. More of the Mike McCarthy Show in just a moment.
I'm Lance Allen. Coming up on the Mike McCarthy Show, our special guest, tight end Richard Rodgers. He'll speak about his larger role in the Packers offense, his connection to one of the most memorable plays in NFL history, and his dad's connection to one of the greatest plays in college football. That's all coming up. Our special guest this week on the Mike McCarthy Show, he is tight end Richard Rodgers. Richard, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Richard, 6 catches, 64 yards in the last contest. What was that like for you, just being that active part of the game plan?
It was a little bit different just because the past couple games I hadn't really had much action, but it was just good to catch a couple passes and convert a couple third downs.
When you find out that you're that much a part of the game plan, what is your thought? Does it change your approach? And when do you find out about that? Is it during the week, during your preparation, or do you find out all of a sudden Rodgers is throwing to Rodgers all the time?
Yeah, I think it's just how the game starts to go. Just early on, he found me a couple times, and then after that, he just started coming back to me. So I don't think no one really knows what exactly we're going to do or where the ball is going to go, because, I mean, no one can tell the future. So we just try to go out and execute and run our routes correctly and be in the right spot for Aaron to throw us the ball.
You're relatively young in your career. What have you learned about playing tight end at the NFL level?
I've learned a lot. I think this year I've learned the most just with Coach Angelico and Jared coming in. Jared's been a great help for me because he's experienced things in the league that I haven't experienced. He's obviously been in it longer than I have, and there's some things that you just can't learn from a coach specifically. You have to learn from a player or older guy, and it's good to have someone like Jared at my position teaching me things and helping me recognize things just along the way.
I appreciate the lead-in to the next question. How excited will you be to have Jared Cook back with you?
Yeah, it'll be good to have him back. We've missed him, obviously. He's a big body and he's fast, so it'll be very good to have him back.
And the two tight end tandem, or the two tight end set, how will that help you guys as an offense, and how will that help you as well?
I'm not sure. We'll have to see going forward. Whatever Coach McCarthy thinks that is best for the team, that's what situation he's going to put us in. So hopefully we can get some two tight end sets out there and continue to have some production.
In the offseason, is well documented, Richard, that you lost about 20 pounds. How did that help you this year?
It's helped me a lot, getting in and out of breaks. I've talked about this sometimes, just being a little bit quicker to spots and getting a little bit more separation. So that's a big part of being in this league. Obviously, you need to have separation, and losing that weight really has helped me just get that little bit more separation.
Clearly the game against the Colts didn't go the way you wanted it to. Where do you go from here, and just how do you kind of look at the division, so to speak, where, you know, there's no consolation prizes, but you're still really in it in the NFC North?
Yeah, we just have to take it one game at a time, try to win every game. Obviously, you never want to lose games, so we got to put last night behind us and try to move on and take it one game at a time.
At 4-4 with three road games in a row coming up, is it a little bit of a crossroads, or how do you view this whole stretch?
I mean, it's going to be tough, but we have to, I mean, we just have to do the little things right and try to finish on offense and put it all together, really. I think we just got to get offense, defense, and special teams on the same page, and I think we'll be fine if we do that.
I thought it was really cool last year and other years where you were able to play catch with your dad. For those that don't know, your dad being an assistant coach with the Panthers. And what was that like for you, just to kind of maybe revert back to your childhood and for him to revert back to when he was younger, too?
Yeah, I think it was more of a moment for him, because you just can never plan for that moment to happen. You just really never know. I played catch with my dad probably a million times, just being at his practices when he was a college coach or anything like that. So I don't think either of us really thought that it would be a situation where we'd be on Lambeau Field playing catch before a game. So it was a very special moment.
The band is on the field. Cal-Stanford game, very well known. How often have you heard about it? How often has he talked about it?
He doesn't talk about it that much. I heard it a lot. I heard about it a lot at my time at Cal, because I was there, and then that kind of resurfaced every year when we played Stanford. So I heard it a lot up there, but he doesn't really talk about it that much.
But now you have your own play, the Hail Mary from Detroit. How often do you just go in a restaurant and you see, you know, maybe a TV that's got it on, or people come up to you all the time and talk about that play?
People come up to me a lot and talk about it. I don't really see it that much on TV. I think I've seen it mostly on Instagram, probably, like, just social media, mm-hmm. because everything repeats on there, so that's probably the most place I've seen it. But other than that, I really don't pay attention to it.
Final thing, though, is it cool to be a part of NFL history? Because I'm sure that play will be talked about for years to come.
Yeah, it's definitely special to be a part of NFL history, and I think it just shows how special this team is. Obviously, we weren't in the best situation going in and down 20 points in the fourth quarter, and we had to come back, and kind of just showed how we had a resilience, and we just built up to the end in that play, and it kind of pushed us to our playoff run. So, I mean, that was just a very special thing that we accomplished as a team.
Richard, thanks for the time. Good luck the rest of the year.
Thank you.
All right, Richard Rodgers joining us right here on the Mike McCarthy Show. Larry and Mike return right after this.
Rodgers shotgun with Montgomery to his right. Snap to Rodgers. Looking. Plenty of time. Drills the middle of the end zone.
Yes! Touchdown! The line of the end zone. Randall Cobb. They beat Darius Butler. And the Packers are back in the game.
Welcome back, Mike. The plays we're going to focus on, I thought, were really cool. The last two offensive plays of the Colts game for you guys. And the thing that was cool, they look the same, but they're entirely different. Could you explain?
Definitely. We're in the red zone area. Obviously, we need to score. We go with a run-pass option here. You can see out to our left, we have three receivers, and we have a closed formation. We call this a 1-by-3 formation. So we're going to run the ball to our right, and ability to throw a quick, we call it a field screen, to our left. So you can see it's clearly done on numbers. You can see you got the three one-on-ones on the outside. It's soft on the slot. Safety really trying to play it. He's trying to split it. His attention to the formation. So clearly you can see that the numbers factor are definitely in our favor. So slight fake to tie. The offensive lines, you know, they're selling the run. Excellent throw, and you can see once again, great job by Devontae bluffing off. Randall makes the block, creates the one-on-one, and we always talk about anytime we create a one-on-one and our perimeter players have 5 yards of green grass, you gotta make a miss. I mean, that's an ideal situation to be with a perimeter player with the ball in his hand, 5 yards of green grass. That's a win for the Green Bay Packers. So you can see that squares them up, makes a miss, and now excellent finish here by Devontae. Randall wins on the outside, and we're down to the 2-yard line. The next play, we're on the 2-yard line. We go with a very similar formation. We open up the tight end, you know, just slightly, and we're basically, it's the same play call, but we do what we call a pump. Okay, we're going to fake the docking screen, make everything look exactly the same, and then we'll do the double move into the end zone. So we open up Justin Perillo here on the backside, and with that, Aaron goes through the same action, same blocking scheme, similar blocking scheme with the five up front. You can see Ty comes right in there nicely in the A-gap, gets a chip on spinning 99, and you can see Devontae's looking for the football just like Jordy did on the previous play. Randall and Jordy are selling the block. Perillo's clearing out the backside with a corner route. And then there's the double move by Randall. Aaron's extended the play. Excellent protection. You can see the pocket. Randall beats him over the top, and that's a big-time throw right there. He beats number 20, their free safety. Excellent. So, once again, taking advantage of a field screen and making the next, you know, setting up the next play, the pump off of the docking stag is actually the name of the play call.
Like I said at the top, really cool. The same, but dramatically different. Coming up, more of the Mike McCarthy Show on the other side of the break. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Mike McCarthy Show. And Mike, Ty Montgomery against the Colts averaged better than 7 yards a carry, more than 12 yards a reception. Now, when you get healthier at running back, which you will, I promise. When you get healthier, is there a chance Ty Montgomery's role stays pretty much the same because he's been very productive?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think you got to look at opportunities. So Ty has earned that, and we'll continue to give him those opportunities. So, you know, from both the backfield, moving out of the backfield, and he's just a multi-dimensional type player, and I'm just very pleased with what he's given us so far.
Mike, you mentioned earlier lots of good things coming out of the Colts game, and to me, one of them was the play of Brian Bulaga. Mm-hmm. Is he at the top of his game? Is he playing real well?
Brian's playing really well. I think it's like anything. You want to string games together, and you're seeing him doing that. And he'll have a big matchup this week. So, he's really detailed in his preparation. You know, he's obviously physical, and I think he's doing a really good job matching, you know, particularly the unscouted, you know, looks that we're talking about, particularly playing against new players. You know, I think that says a lot about a player, particularly his preparation when you perform at that level.
Now, we've talked about Kentrell Bryce on this program before, but against the Colts, a new role. Micah Hyde goes down with an injury. Mm-hmm. In comes Bryce as the nickelback. I think you guys call it star. Could you talk about that? Is there a possible future there? Does he have that kind of flexibility?
Oh, he definitely has that kind of flexibility. He has that ability. So, particularly as a pressure player, I mean, he's has extra and cover skills to go inside. It's something that we've been working. Obviously, we're working a number of different combinations with the injuries in the secondary. So, I thought he played very well in this time in there.
Another young fellow I wanted to ask you about, second-year man Jake Ryan. Statistically, he had his most productive game, I believe, mm-hmm. as a Packer. How did you view it from a coach's perspective?
Jake played well. I mean, I think you're seeing Jake extremely comfortable. We've talked about this a few weeks back, and he's playing so much faster. I mean, he's has a great motor. He's, you know, very instinctive player, always has been. So Jake's doing a lot of great things.
Thank you, Mike. Coming up, the last word from the coach. Stay with us.
Mike McCarthy's wardrobe provided by the Haberdasher Limited, the best quality men's clothing store in Green Bay, offering suits, sportswear, and tailoring for men. 335 North Washington Street, Green Bay.
Welcome back to the Mike McCarthy Show. And Mike, this week I was reading an article. And
why would you do that?
Well, you know, I try to be well informed. But in that article, an NFL scout was quoted as saying, "Mike McCarthy," and I'll read it, "is at his best under tough circumstances." Now, that's what an NFL scout said. Now, is that true? Do you feel that way? And if so, why? What's the deal there?
We definitely have history. I mean, you know, in this league is about adversity. I mean, you're going to have adversity on some level each and every week. I'll take the compliment from the unnamed scout. But it's really a reflection of our program. I mean, it starts just the way we go about business here. You know, Mark Murphy all the way down, and just you just stay on course. So I think it's a real tribute to our players. I mean, this is probably as good, or probably, you know, we'll let the year play out. I mean, the veteran leadership here I've been very impressed with each and every week, and we expect to win each and every week. And sometimes it doesn't go the way you hope, but you need to learn from it. And I think we do that. We do a very good job of that consistently throughout the years we've been here.
Mike, good luck against the Titans. Thank you. And thank you for watching. Until next time, take care.